I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 90 of the Best Thing We've Seen podcast. My name is Flo.
And I'm Gabe. How are you?
There's the energy. There's the fake energy.
Well,
we love to
partly
see.
Fake, you know? I just psych myself up so much in my head that it becomes real.
Yeah? Does that work for you?
Not even a little, but I try my best.
Great, great. How you doing?
Same as usual. A bit of stress, you know. Got a new lockdown coming, which I was in the way.
Phase four.
One of the new Avengers.
Yeah.
Stay inside. Oh, dude,
I couldn't wait for the release of the next one.
But, you know, I was kind of looking forward to the next one. I was like, you know, a bit of me time, a bit of, you know, having an excuse not to go out. What might be nice. I've been a little stressed. Though somebody asked me, you know, you seem so busy, you know, because every time we do this, I start the podcast by saying that I'm stressed and tired. Just to be clear, I'm not doing that much. I just have a very low stress level threshold. So don't worry about me. But, you know, now that it's here, I didn't need it.
Sure. But it feels like, I told you this in private as well, but... Feels like you haven't been going out anyway for the last like half a year. I know it's the dog and
Sure. Everything.
Life gets in the way, I'm sure.
Life, but
it feels like I don't know. I'm not looking forward to this. I mean it's necessary, so yeah.
Well, I just had an exam at university.
Yeah, so how did that go?
Surprisingly well.
Was that
surprisingly well? It was in person. Yeah.
Right.
It was like the day the lockdown was announced.
Yeah.
I had a test.
Was it a written exam or an oral exam?
Written.
Okay.
Written. So it was quite a full lecture hall, but you know, with
Sure. The
precautions, you know, keeping your distance, et cetera, whatever. But you know, it went well, but you know, I got some stuff to study in the coming weeks as well, of course, and you know, to keep up with stuff. But I felt like, you know, now I have a bit more time and technically I would have gotten some vacation from work anyway in December, but you know that just, you know, kind of took care of itself now. But it doesn't really help me since I can't do much. You know, I was kind of looking forward to seeing more people now.
Didn't you just say you were looking forward to some me time? Sorry,
I was looking forward to some me time, but also, you know, just, you know, I always romanticize, I think, the first lockdown, which sounds terrible, I know. But, you know, I got to keep my job and I just sat at home for the first month. Did pretty much nothing except play Nintendo Switch, which I bought like 3 days before the lockdown started.
Best buy
I ever made.
It was the best thing you saw that week?
That month, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
You know, just playing Zelda all the time. I had a hell of a time. But, you know, although I do like some me time, you know, a beer or whatever would have been nice. But
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know. I mean,
let's see how long this one is going to last.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second that it's going to be 4 weeks, but we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, but we'll be here to entertain you all the way through it, through lockdown number... it is four, right? Because I thought it was number three because the third
I'm
one
not
was
sure.
So
yeah.
Long. Oh, sorry, the second one was so long, but apparently it's the fourth one. So
I mean... What a time to watch movies, right? What else to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad though because the cinemas are closed. I mean, so many good things were
Sure. Supposed
to come out now. I'm hoping to get to see Spider-Man. I'm hoping the cinemas will be open in December.
I mean, that comes out around Christmas, right?
Yeah, I think it's the week before.
Yeah, it could very well be that they, you know, push the lockdown, you know,
just for
Christmas.
Spider-Man.
Extended, I mean.
Right.
So... we might get to see it either late December or even January. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll just watch it on Disney Plus. How depressing would that be?
It would be. It would be.
Yeah.
But it's also like, because I went to the sneak this week for the first time in a while, and I didn't know that was going to be my last cinematic experience for a while again. Because I still, and I think you didn't manage to either watch Titan yet.
No.
Which was the only other film in cinemas right now that I wanted to see.
Same, yeah.
But yeah, now my last film was somewhat of a mediocre one, but we'll get to that. And I'd say let's dive right into this, right? Because episode 90, which is...
Yes.
It could be a special episode, but it isn't, just from its number. You know, it sounds quite...
Because it's an even number?
Bombastic. Well, 90. No, it's not like sure. 82 or whatever. It's 90.
I recently, you know, became aware once again that we're doing this for nearly two fucking years. For me, it's still, you know, feels like under a year. But no,
yeah.
It's been a long fucking time. It
yeah.
just feels so natural now.
I mean, sure. I mean, the...
you wouldn't guess from my tone of voice and my professionalism, but...
Well, it feels like the first time we recorded, or like within the first month, because it was a lockdown there as well. So, you know,
sure.
things don't really change. So it all just seems like a, I don't know, like a long week maybe. I don't really know. But still, even though I didn't get to see Titan, I got a lot of things to discuss, mm-hmm. to talk about this week. We got some big releases coming up. We have some smaller ones. I even have some things that I don't even think I'm going to mention this week because, we have other things to discuss, but how many things do you have this week?
Two, and one is a bit of a, well, not stretch, but yeah.
You only have two things, and one is, what do you mean by stretch? In terms of it's not good, or it's not really like a pick?
It is a pick. Right. It
could be a pick.
Worthy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you if it is or not, you know, keep a bit of suspense there.
Thank you, yeah, sure.
But something that I'm going to mention, haven't finished. I have one episode left, but you know, I thought it's time, and before I talk about nothing else, and I'm excited to talk about it, so I thought I'd put it into the list.
Dude, I love it, because for the first time in a while, I'm going to break some rules as well, because
okay.
I'm going to talk about something that, in terms of shows, it's always difficult, like you just said, when to talk about it.
Sure.
After like the first episode, or after like the last one, I think we've jumped quite a bit on that.
Yeah.
Like after the first three like Loki episodes we talked about, and then after the last one we talked about it again or something like that. But for me, we'll get to it when we get to it. I'll explain it later. But who starts?
Sounds like a pick. Jesus Christ! I think. What was your pick last week? Remind me. Sorry, last night in Soho. Sorry. I think I started with that one, but you know,
I think you did.
Don't take my word for it.
Yeah, you did. Do you want to tell everyone how the show works, and then I'll start, I guess?
Yes, yes, yes. So welcome back to another regular episode where we talk about the best thing we've seen all week. So anything from a TV show to a movie to maybe even a YouTube video, any kind of visual format, maybe a museum, maybe a painting.
Haven't
done that joke in a long while, though it, you know, doesn't make much sense now that we can't go to museums. Moving on from that, and freaking new. We try to say somewhat current, and yeah, I think you've seen a couple of things like you mentioned that I haven't, quite a few it seems, and yeah, I'm excited to hear it. So what is one of your honorable mentions?
Well, I'll talk about the sneak film, because yeah. I tried to... figure out when this film is coming out in Austria, and mm-hmm. I haven't figured out the release date for that. I mean, it doesn't matter because cinemas are closed now anyway. It was a film that you wanted to watch at this year's Biennale and then decided against it. I did the same mm-hmm. thing. I decided against it, but now I ended up seeing it in the sneak, which is a film called French Exit. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Michelle Pfeiffer, Lucas Hedges, they're sort of like, how did you describe it to me? Like they're elitarians?
Yeah, no. Or like very posh New Yorkers moving to France, like a son yeah. and mother.
Right, right, right. The mother, like she's running out of money, and she decides to, or she kind of has to sell everything and decides to live in an apartment from that her friend owns in Paris, and she takes her son with her, and then basically in France, it felt to me like a Woody Allen film, and that's actually like a good thing to me. I like Woody Allen films, yeah. and it felt like just because you get to meet so many different characters, and it's like everything takes place. Basically, everything takes place in the apartment in Paris, and so many people they get to meet along the way. People from their past and people from Paris, they get to meet so many people, and they all sort of end up staying in the same house, which makes for a lot of. You know, it does have some funny moments, but also, yeah.
Yeah, was it better or worse than you would expect, since you also decided not to watch it during the Viennale?
I thought it was decent. I thought it was better than I expected because I didn't have any expectations for it, basically. Sure. But I still wouldn't recommend it, per se. Definitely not to say now to go watch it in theaters is not possible for other reasons, but sure. I wouldn't recommend it even if you could, you know? But also like Woody Allen elements of like some supernatural things going on as well, like kind of like magic in the moonlight or whatever, or like so many, what was that one with Scarlett Johansson and Hugh Jackman?
What's it called?
No.
Something like that.
What was that one called? You have seen that, right? We talked about this on the Scarlett Johansson special, I think.
I have. Where she moves to London or something. I have no idea. Yeah, where...
Scoop.
Where Woody Allen pretends to be your dad. Yeah.
Right. There's a supernatural element of like that the person, the actor...
meeting a ghost?
Yes, but who was the ghost? You know the actor.
Shane Black.
No, Shane.
I always say Shane Black.
Ian McShane.
It's McShane.
You did the same thing, like, because I wanted
so
to
many
say,
times.
I love it. But in French Exit, there's like a woman who can talk to dead people, and that's a part of the story too. And actually, the dead father is played by Tracy Letts, who was a surprise to me. That's Henry Ford II in Ford versus Ferrari.
Mm-hmm. A movie that I almost rewatched this week, and I might this week because it's now on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, there it is. I love that film.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, he's also in Lady Bird as the father. Yeah, I like him; good actor. But French Exit, that's about it. It didn't really blow me away. Michelle Pfeiffer's good. Lucas Hedges didn't really have that much to do. Imogen Poots is in this, who I know you're going to say who, because every time I say that name, you say who, but we've talked about her quite a few times. She's in Art of Self-Defense as the female protagonist. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
But yeah, that's French Exit. I don't want to spend more time on this. What's your honorable? Because I definitely haven't seen that. Or maybe I have because it's the one that we talked about.
It is, and is that your pick, or
no,
do you want to
isn't.
Talk about it?
No, it is.
Oh, perfect. Because you wrote me shortly before, like yesterday, whatever, not too long ago anyway, and mentioned that you were planning on watching this movie before we record this episode because it came out the day before today.
It's a beautiful sentence, by the way.
Does it make sense? Yeah, I'm not sure. It came out yesterday, and we both watched it. It's a Netflix release called Tick, Tick, Boom, the newest movie by Lin-Manuel Miranda, one of his first directing roles.
I think his first.
Maybe even his first, yeah.
It's a film, yeah.
And he does what he does best, I suppose, and he focuses on a musical. And it's a true story, or partly true story, of Jonathan Larson, a real-life Broadway musical writer, and who has quite an interesting and tragic story. And it's told in a very interesting way, portrayed by Andrew Garfield. Playing the leading role, and it's told through a real musical that the real Jonathan Larson wrote, where he kind of talks about his life and what he's been experiencing the last couple of weeks or months while he tried to write his first ever big Broadway musical. And of course, dealing with a lot of drama with friends, some of whom are sick, some of whom, you know, he gets into fights over his ambitions and, you know, not managing to make time for personal life and his professional dreams. And yeah, it's a musical and it's okay.
I mean, it's got rave reviews, this film.
And, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, the ratings that I saw shortly before I watched it were quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt quite similar to In the Heights. From
sure.
Like the tone and some of the more, from like the look, a bit over the top. If you know what I mean, like the diner scene where it opens up and you get this very fake looking background in the background.
Right.
I thought it was right. I liked Andrew Garfield. Not the rest were fine. You got some interesting and cameos in there. You know, Lin-Manuel Miranda with his obligatory cameo, which was weird.
Well, it was funny because this is his first. Direct the first film that he directed. I mean, he had a cameo in The Heights, but he didn't direct that one.
Sure.
But I was actually wondering, like, if he's going to put himself in it Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, like, while I was watching the film, and literally in the next scene, he was in it.
I mean, in that, always later, you also got a lot of other big Hamilton actors yep. in there. You got Philip Basu and Renee Ellis Goldsberry. At least those are the two that are recognized.
Yeah.
Also in there.
Same. I don't know if there are any other cameos that I might not have... I saw the Hamilton cast, and maybe there's some other cameos that I'm just not familiar with the actors, you know? Could be that he had some other friends along from Broadway there, you know?
Sure. But I can say, I mean, I thought the concept was interesting and how the story was told. I just, like, the tone didn't quite hit me as well. I thought, like I said, it's okay, but I don't like it when movies do that, you know? When he and his friends are together in the diner and they all talk and everybody laughs and it's so quaint and... It just doesn't seem real. It seems so very Hollywood and just, oh, that's my dream. As it like gives this fake laugh and everybody's so, I don't know, fake.
Well, it's a musical, right? I mean, I know that
sure.
It kind of happens in most musicals though, right? That sort of like dreamy reality.
I suppose. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it just wasn't for me because also the songs... They're real songs written actually by Jonathan Larson, apparently.
Yeah.
Or at least some of them.
Yeah.
And just wasn't my music, didn't stand out to me as much. And I think I just keep coming back to comparing it to Hamilton. And I thought it was fine. It's just nothing that I would listen to again or would come back to. I think if you're a musical fan, I think it's an interesting way of seeing it. And I think it might be of interest to you, but it just wasn't for me, sadly.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to this because I like Andrew Garfield a lot. I think he's one of the most underrated actors. And
right, yeah.
I do, like from what I gather, there is some award buzz around his performance and people are saying it's one of his best performances. I still think... Yeah. Well, I think it's up there, but I don't think it's got anything on Hacksaw Ridge and The Social Network.
Silence. I thought he was sure. great in that.
But I think he's good in this. But unfortunately for me, the film just didn't hook me.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the main thing. I liked some of the songs in it. I actually got goosebumps during like two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Hudgens was in this, reprising her High School Musical days, but in like a much smaller role than I thought.
Yeah.
But I liked the whole cast. I wasn't familiar with the guy who played Michael, mm-hmm. Robin, God, is it De Jesus? I don't, so I apologize. That's sure. what it says here. And Alexandra Shipp, who played Susan, she's mm-hmm. actually, she was in Love, Simon, and she's Storm in the X-Men franchise. I didn't recognize her, but...
apparently straight out of Compton as well.
Yeah.
But, I gotta say, just from the cast, I think apart from Andrew Garfield, the only guy I knew was Bradley Woodford.
Dude, I was just about to say that. And... I remember it distinctly, and that's a bit unnecessary to say because I saw it yesterday. It's like I saw it yesterday. But when he first was on screen,
mm-hmm.
I was like, because I think they introduced him, like you could feel it in the air. Mm-hmm. Stephen Sondheim is in the room. That's how Andrew Garfield described the scene in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that dude looks so much like Bradley Whitford. But it didn't click to me that it was Bradley Whitford. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Because I thought maybe it was the actual Stephen Sondheim. I saw him like in an interview like a couple of years ago, so I wasn't too familiar with his image again. So I was like, man, Stephen Sondheim looks a lot like Bradley Whitford. And then they sort of zoomed in on him. And yeah, of course, it was Bradley Whitford. I like Bradley Whitford a lot. I loved his sort of small role in this as sort of the guy who... is supportive of Jonathan Larson's work. One of the few.
And the funny thing is the guy who sits next to him, who Kemp seems to make up his mind.
Of course,
yeah. Richard Kind, I didn't recognize him until he spoke with that beard.
Oh, really?
Loved that dude. Yeah,
I recognized him at all. And I know that you love him. I think mm-hmm. we talked about this on, was it the Coen Brothers special?
I think the Coen Brothers special because of,
Serious Man?
What's it called? A Serious Man, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a kind of a funny scene that he sort of like, you know... he criticizes certain things, and then Stephen Sondheim goes like, "I actually loved it." And he was like, "Yeah, no, that's what I meant." You know, that was kind of funny.
I knew Stephen Sondheim just from his name, or at least from his from a parody of his, or from South Park. But
sure.
Yeah, apparently I didn't know everything that he wrote. I just knew West Side Story, but he wrote a lot of fucking stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking at an image of him now on IMDb, and I mean, Bradley Whitford. Yeah, but Whitford really, I mean, obviously he played him in the 90s, but yeah, he's got his look spot on, I think.
Yeah, I thought his role was good, yeah.
Yeah, but I liked, I thought some of the, like, in terms of, like, direction, there were some kind of, like, that was a, I actually thought some of the visual transitions were quite good. It's sort of like an Edgar Wrighty style. Which is like the scene transitions where it pans up on the window and then you're in a different room. Or like there were a couple of things where you pan up and it sort of seemingly transitions between scenes.
Sure.
Really yeah. Edgar Wright-like, because I did watch a lot of interviews of Edgar Wright, like obviously after Last Night in Soho. Mm-hmm. And it sort of, I watched a lot of his clips again and I really felt like he, I don't want to say that was his inspiration, but I thought there were some nice little transitions in there from Miranda. Other than that, I mean, yeah, nothing really stood out to me in terms of the direction. But I thought the film was good. I think we're in the same boat here.
Sure.
Some of the songs were good. Other songs are kind of forgettable. But the last musical I saw before this was Annette, and it's a 10 times better film than Annette. So
sure. Yeah. But you can't compare that. But you're talking about...
I did.
About Edgar Wright's style of transitions kind of reminded me of the Every Frame of Painting video on his. And Every Frame of Painting posted something.
Before you recently. Say that, I know, yeah. But that's also, I rewatched that in my like Edgar Wright interviewing loophole.
Okay.
I rewatched that too. And that sort of solidified also those transitions for me once again.
Sure.
But I mean, please,
that was a great.
Beautiful transition now to Void. Yeah. War.
Have you seen it?
Well, it's not out yet, is it?
Out even? Okay.
Dude, I mean, beautiful. I mean, I didn't David even write Fincher, that down. Dude. I know. There was a heap. So I follow Tony Zhu. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The guy who used to run Every Frame of Painting, the best video essay channel on YouTube in terms of like films.
Definitely, yes. Yeah.
Unfortunately stopped making videos like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I still follow him like socials and everything. And there was like a... I don't know what I read, but something like Fincher and him are working on something and other people too. And now they released a trailer for it and you hear Tony Zhu's voice and it's so distinct and it's so great to see him back. But it's also like, how mind-blowing is it that David Fincher, I mean, Tony Zhu made a video about Fincher called, The Other Way is Wrong or something like that? Mm-hmm. David Fincher and The Other Way is Wrong, a video that I watched countless of times, but now they're working together and they're like I mean Fincher produces it and I think Tony Zhu is one of the narrators and one of the
maybe writers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it comes out in December. There's it's about sort of loving films, but they've been pretty vague on it. And by the way, David Pryor is also one of the producers, who's the guy who did The Empty Man, who did the behind the scenes documentaries on the Fincher films. I talked about him before, so it kind of like mashes so many things together that we have talked about it on this podcast before. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it going to be a Netflix release, you think?
Yeah. It's a series, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's on Netflix. Yeah. It's called Voir. V-O-I-R. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I mean, yeah, like you said, those were some of the best video essays on movies out there. And,
for sure.
You know, the Kurosawa episode is one of my favorites.
So many great ones, man. Edgar Wright, Jackie Chan.
Or Nicholas Winding Refn and Drive and, you know, Quarters.
Yeah, the golden...
they're pretty good.
Yeah, what was that called? Golden circle, golden square, golden square.
Something like that, yeah.
Golden rectangle, I have no idea. But yeah, so many great ones.
Yeah, but apart from that, before we get into it too much, you have a couple of other things, right?
Yeah, well, let's move on.
Yeah.
So let's just do one more honorable and let's get into our picks.
Sure.
I did watch Red Notice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on your radar?
Not really, no.
But you know of it?
Yes. Gal Gadot, Dwayne, and what's his name? Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, a film now out on Netflix, which is one of them, I think right now, the most watched Netflix film in a short amount of time ever.
Yeah, well, that record's going to be broken every couple of months, right?
But it's still impressive.
Sure.
It's still impressive.
I mean, the last one was one of the biggest was like Murder, Summer, Vacation, whatever, with Adam Sandler. So
Murder Mystery.
It's just called Murder Mystery?
Yeah, I actually watched that a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Like half of it. But actually, it was really good.
It was quite all right. Yeah, sure. But yeah.
No, but like it cost, like, I think the rumored sum is like $200 million, which is bizarre because that includes like so many, like, they had to postpone like production due to COVID, I think. So they lost a lot of money in that, because otherwise this doesn't look like a $200 million film to me. I watched this and I was actually like, I wanted to see this like instantly. I was looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And these are the types of films, the kind of films that I know won't be earth-shatteringly good, won't be surprising, but will be so entertaining. And it feels like there's not a lot of movies like this out nowadays, because it to me, it's in the same vein as like a National Treasure, as like an Ocean's 11, sort of these like big budget action comedies.
Yeah.
Sort of like that, sure. where you got like a mystery adventure films, maybe that describes it as well, even though Ocean's, but you know, sort of in the same vein.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Light entertainment. I mean, Red Notice, really quickly, you said it, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he plays an FBI guy, FBI agent tracking down like the biggest art thieves, one played by Ryan Reynolds and the other one played by Gal Gadot. And yeah, I mean, they're all like sort of the art thieves are trying to steal Cleopatra's eggs. They're all like worth like millions and millions and millions of dollars. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson is...
Cleopatra's eggs?
Yeah, there's three of them.
Was she a lizard?
No. No, they like, you know.
Lizard people confirmed.
Yeah, it's like Khaleesi when I think about it, right? Yeah, so you got that dynamic, and it's written and directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber, who did like so many The Rock films in recent years, like Skyscraper and Central Intelligence, and he also did We're the Millers, which I really like.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, fun director. I like his work. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, with Red Notice, I enjoyed it, and I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. But
thoroughly?
I did, but it is... like, it's light entertainment, and it won't surprise you, but it will entertain you, right? There's like, going into the film, you always have like your own theories as to what's going to happen. And I had one. I had one going in, and I was like, please don't let it be that, right? And I watched the film, and I didn't like what I thought turned out to be right, but it wasn't like the whole thing. There were some other things to it as well that I didn't see coming, but still the main thing I predicted was right, which is a shame, because it was kind of you know, obvious. And if I hadn't seen it coming, it would have been even more enjoyable. But I like it. I like The Rock. I think he's one of the most charismatic actors working today. I think he looks you don't like him?
I think he's fine, and he seems like a fine guy, but I just don't enjoy his kinds of movies, because I think he's an okay actor, but not somebody that I'm, you know, going to seek out. Just like, I don't know, there are actors that I just speak to me more, I guess, where I know they're not the greatest, but, you know, they still make fun movies, and I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies are just okay, you know, like Jumanji, but I never, like, remember them for more than a week.
Do you have an example for someone who you, like, what you just said, like, that's not, like, great, but you enjoy more? Because I feel like...
Keanu Reeves, maybe. I mean, he's not the greatest actor. Sure. John Wick isn't, you know, like, a fucking masterpiece of acting or whatever, but, you know, he's a likable guy, and even in movies that are not great, like, I don't know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, it's still just so fun to watch him.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I think he's... In all the interviews I watch, I think he... He seems like I don't think he's putting up a facade. I think he genuinely is this kind of nice and charismatic guy. And I like him as a person. It sounds wrong because I don't know him, but I also enjoy his films. You know, I agree he's not one of the best actors ever, but for what he's going for, it works for me. Ryan Reynolds, to me, I gotta say, is so hit and miss. It seems like ever since he's done Deadpool, he does the same shit in every film. In every film, in terms of like humor, that is his humor. And some of the stuff he throws out is genuinely funny. I genuinely had to laugh. But other times it's like, I've seen that before, and we've been here before, Ryan. Do something else, right? That's kind of like a bit of a mixture there, but for me.
I mean, it's like the thing that he does best, because even the things that he did before that weren't great, like The Proposal or whatever, he's an okay actor, I suppose. But, you know, that suits him. And I mean, that's kind of also what he does a lot with his YouTube channel now.
Sure.
And but yeah, I get it. It's been a long time since anything new came from him, man.
Yeah. Oh, he's a marketing genius, that guy, in terms of like YouTube channels and shit.
Yeah, with like the thing about, I don't know, that phone provider.
Yeah.
To get it to Canada or whatever.
Yeah. Just so many great things.
It's quite good, yeah. So,
and I actually, like, I want to try aviation gin. It's working for me. All of the ads, it's working. I want to try it.
Sure. If I could get it somewhere for under, I don't know, $50.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe. It's available here, is it? I don't know.
Probably I don't not. Even think so. You could probably got to import it from like the US.
Yeah. Or the Canada. He's from Canada, isn't he? Good old man.
Sure.
Yeah. And Gal Gadot, to me also, like, it seems like she's now in this sort of like, ever since Wonder Woman, she's always playing that sort of elegant goddess. And I would also, but I would also like to see her do something else. She was fine in the film. She was fine in Red Notice. She was good, you know, she for what she needed to do and what she did, it was fine. But that's sort of where I stand on Red Notice. It's one of the more enjoyable films, and sort of like shut your brain off and watch it. And when I watch like Tick, Tick, Boom, it took me multiple viewings. I didn't sit through it.
Yeah, but
that rarely happens for me, where actually I watch a whole film. And I actually, when I think back, I did pause Red Notice. But this is a film that I could easily... For other reasons, this is a film that I could easily watch all the way through and enjoy. And man, if you told me I'd have to watch Red Notice again, I would do that without any problems. You know,
already
it's enjoyable. Yeah,
maybe I got to check it out then.
Yeah,
it might be nice entertainment. Though, you know, I just didn't have time. There was some other movie that I meant to watch besides Tick, Tick, Boom.
Right.
Which I'm afraid might be your pick. Might not be. I wouldn't think so, but who knows? Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. It's
okay,
not.
Perfect.
But what is it?
Well, I might watch it for next week, but all I can say is The Harder They Fall.
Yes, dude. Perfect. Let's watch it for next week.
I'm interested in. Yeah,
perfect. I didn't get around to that, but it's supposed to be really, really good.
Yeah, I went to watch it yesterday together with Tick, Tick, Boom, but I didn't even manage to finish Tick, Tick, Boom. I actually finished it this morning.
Right. But let's get into... Oh, sorry, it's my pick of the week, right? Shit.
It is.
Shit.
Ooh.
Okay.
Swear jar.
So I teased it before, and I had seen French Exit, Red Notice, and Tick, Tick, Boom. None of those things really blew me away.
Okay. Oh, is this going to be a YouTube video?
No, it's a show. But okay. As I said, it's like I'm doing something where I have only seen the first episode. A couple of episodes, there's more episodes already out, especially in the US.
Is it what I think it is?
I think it might be.
Oh,
but well. The main reason I wanted to, I saw the first one, and I wanted to have a good pick this week. And this show it has all the potential in the world.
Oh, so dude, I know what you're talking about.
Dope sick.
Yeah, I want you to wait until it's finished.
Well, that's going to take a while.
Probably. How many episodes are there going to be? Because each 8 episode is also like an hour long, isn't it?
Yes. And I think in the US, the finale recently dropped.
Oh, but already.
Over here, it comes out because it's Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, it's on Disney Plus, and I think they released 3 episodes already, and I'm guessing now it's going to be 1 per week.
Yes, I think so.
But dude, I mean, there's not much to spoil. I've seen the first episode. Sure. I'll talk about it now, but we can talk about it once we both finished it.
Sure, it's just so funny, because when we watched last night in Seoul, there was a trailer for this, you know?
Yes.
Streaming on Disney Plus, like next week or whatever it said, and you turned to me like, dude, this is going to be a pick. And
yeah, because... Yeah,
it looked good. It looked good.
Because I said it because I had heard so many great things about it, and I was surprised that it's already going to be out here. Because usually these things, and I've said this so many times on the podcast, when a show comes out in America, especially Hulu things, I think they changed something now that it's now, is it now owned by Disney or something like that?
Maybe, because we now get a lot of Hulu things on Disney Plus through Stars. Same thing with Solar Opposites and other things that have now come over from Hulu.
Yeah, it's great. I was so surprised that this is already out in Europe or in Austria, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I watched the first episode, and Dope Sick, it's basically, it's a limited series starring Michael Keaton, Caitlin Dever from Unbelievable.
Yes.
I'm hoping I'm pronouncing all those names right, by the way. Will Poulter from We're the Millers with Ross and Marshall Thurber. Will Poulter, actually, by the way, now obviously cast as Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not a spoiler. But do you remember the end of Guardians 2?
Yeah, with the golden dude.
That's the guy. And that he's going to be played by Will Poulter. And then you have Michael Stuhlbarg in this, who I know
always hear his name, but I never have a face for
it. He is the father of Timothy Chalamet in Call Me By Your Name. He was in Shape of Water.
Serious man, yeah.
Perfect, yes, of course. I should have said that. Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah, he's a serious man. who else is in this?
Because Rosario Dawson, right?
Rosario Dawson, right. As an, I think she's a DEA agent, drug enforcement agency. Mm-hmm. And Peter Sarsgaard and other, Jake McDormand, who I really, really like. And by the way, I wrote this down and I got to say it now. Philippa Sue is in this.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, I hadn't seen her in anything other than Hamilton. And now in the space of a day, I saw her in two different things, in Tick, Tick, Boom and in Dope Sick. And Dope Sick, it tells the story of the opioid epidemic that has been so fatal and horrific. And it's actually, I'm an idiot, and you know this. And I don't know a lot of things. You know more than me. Did that reach Austria and Europe, or is that was that an epidemic in the States more than anything?
Oh, dude, don't ask me. I'm completely talking out of my ass, but I think it wasn't as bad, or at least in Austria, because I think it was hard to gain access to them.
Okay.
Because I think like morphine or something like that is, you don't just get in Austria, which is more common in once again, talking out of my ass here, more easy to get in hospitals there if you get whatever.
Right. Sure. I mean, to me, I wasn't familiar. I had read about these opioids and the epidemic and everything that happened in like the late 90s to early 2000s. This takes place. And it's, I read about it and I was like, I don't know if my doctor ever prescribed anything like that to me. And I don't think so. You know,
you gotta be careful. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Because these opioids, they were sort of like sold as being non-addictive.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out that was a lie from a Purdue Pharma, the company that made these opioids. And Michael Stuhlbarg plays sort of the inventor of that drug. Michael Keaton plays a doctor who prescribed this drug to many, many people and ended up regretting that. Will Poulter plays a sales rep who sold this medication to Michael Keaton and other doctors. Caitlin Dever plays someone who gets addicted by the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Sarsgaard Rosario Dawson are sort of like the police force behind it and the judicial force behind it and sort of trying to get justice done, basically. And it tells a story of, it keeps jumping time. It keeps jumping, right? From 2002 back to the 90s, back to 2005. And it's actually quite refreshing because they you see the date and then it sort of like trickles down to the year that you're going to, which is so much better because you realize where you're at and where you're going to, other than if you just saw the date where you're at. I usually get lost.
I hate it as well, especially if it's like only months. I'm like,
yes.
Where are we, dude?
Exactly. But let's play a little clip. I hope we have a clip for this.
Yes.
I think we have.
I think so as well with Disney Plus stuff, right?
Yeah, if it's Disney, but that's the question. But let's Fair try. Enough. Let's see. Let's listen. here's a little clip for Dope Sick.
I know most people don't think about us up there in the mountains. Many of my patients are minors. It's dangerous work, and they carry the burden of building this nation on their backs. They're a pain. These people, my people, trusted me. I can't believe how many of them are dead now.
We've begun looking at something that could be big.
OxyContin.
Purdue Pharma. They've been marketing the drug as something that's non-addictive, when it clearly is.
All your doctors are going to be asking, how is this even possible?
Your most effective talking point are these magic words.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
They told me that less than 1% would become addicted.
Foxycontin does what I think it can. It could soon become Purdue's first billion-dollar drug.
Purdue continues to lie about the drug's safety to doctors, to patients, and the FDA. We have a major case here.
Right. That was either an awkward pause or a great clip. But obviously, I have seen one episode. Mm-hmm. But to me, and I'm not pulling this out of my ass, when I'm watching something, every once in a while, I put something into my ass. Every once in a while, I know from the get-go that this is going to be great. And as I mentioned in Tick, mm-hmm. Tick, Boom, it didn't hook me. This grabbed me from minute 5 or whatever. I was in it. It does, I mean, Dark Waters springs to mind, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Did it occur to you? Because, obviously, it doesn't deal with drugs, but it is sort of like... I failed to mention that this is like... It has courtroom elements to it, and it sort of does end up being a trial for the people involved in it, right? Which I didn't know, but you know that I love a good courtroom drama. And obviously, like Dark Waters, that was about the Teflon and sort of trying to bring that... what was that company called?
Teflon?
No. No, it was something else, wasn't it? DuPont.
No idea.
DuPont.
Yeah.
To justice. It's got elements of that. But I'm hoping I'm not going to be proven wrong. I know that the ratings are terrific. It's got like an 8.8 mm-hmm. on IMDb. Not that that's any great indicator, but I mean, it does have some, it adds some validity to it. To me, it feels like this has potential to be as grand and great of a miniseries as like Chernobyl, as like...
Ooh, that's high fucking praise.
Yeah, I knew of the show,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, maybe it's not going to be as compelling to me. I wasn't really that interested in like the opioid crisis told over like 8 hours or whatever.
Sure.
But you're in it and you start it and it's just great. It looks beautiful, beautifully shot, directed by Barry Levinson, among other people, who did Rain Man. I mean, one of the mm-hmm. most versatile directors. Written by Danny Strong, who's like an actor who also writes shows like Empire. And wrote a film called Recount that I really enjoyed, like the 2000s Recount.
The Bush, yeah. Al Gore.
Exactly. So, I was in it from the first few minutes, and it's just so compelling because it's told through so many different perspectives, but you get to know these characters and sort of empathize with most of them so quickly. Caitlin Dever, I think she's one of the most...
She's so good.
She is so good.
I love her.
And she chooses great projects with Unbelievable, with Booksmart, and now certainly this.
Unbelievable is so good.
Yeah.
It's such a fucking good role. It's a show that I've been thinking about lately, like meaning to rewatch it maybe, because I rewatched Booksmart, and I just absolutely love her.
Yeah.
She's up and coming, and I think there's so many good things because she just keeps fucking going.
Yeah. Dude, she's really knocked it out of the park. She was also in Short Term 12, Beautiful Boy. Yeah. The Front
Runner.
Was she
Beautiful Boy? I don't remember her there. Was she the girlfriend?
I assume the girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I got to say with Dopesick, from like the plot on from the cast and everything, it seems like a big HBO show, which is high praise because they make the best television shows out there, or best miniseries, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks fucking good. I want to watch it. 1 hour episodes and so many coming out. But I want to definitely fucking see it. And the funny thing is, there was not too long ago also a Last Week Tonight episode about, I think, the company that made OxyContin now finally getting sued.
Yeah.
Over that exact same thing, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know when this series ends, right? Mm-hmm. I've only seen the first episode, but I think, and I'm always bad with years, but I think that sort of the trial is set during like 2000, like the mid to late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So from what you just said, they're now only suing them? I don't know.
There were different companies, I'm sure, but OxyContin was like, I think, one of the big ones. And I think...
No, but this is about OxyContin.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't quite remember the episode, but I think they're getting sued maybe again. And I think it's because they found out like a whole lot of shit of like that they knew how addicting it is. And like the things that the sales reps were told to tell the doctors and whatever and to get as many sales as possible and just being absolute fucking, you know, the fucking definition of fucking assholes. But
yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned before that this crisis mainly took place in the early 2000s or whatever. I think the more we speak about it, I think I remember that that's actually bullshit. I think this might actually be still as relevant today in America.
I think it's still a big problem, yeah.
Yeah, that's my ignorance there coming through. But maybe we'll talk about the show at a later time when you've seen it too. I don't think this is necessarily one that sort of, you know, we won't do like a spoiler talk on this. It's not like that kind of show. It tells a true story, a horrific story. And
sure.
To me, it just completely blew me away how good it was. Like, it's just like, it reminds me of how good film and show making can be. And it might be hyperbole because I've seen one episode, but from what I've heard and read and seen, it's really fantastic. I can't wait to finish the show.
Nice, dude. I'm looking forward to it even now. Yeah. Even more now.
Yeah. Let's move on because I've talked, I feel like, for the last 30 minutes. I apologize. Let's go.
Don't worry. What you got? My thing, the funny thing is, it is a show that I haven't finished, and it is a Hulu show that is on Disney Plus.
Right.
Perfect, you know?
Sure.
And it's Reservation Dogs, the Taika Waititi show.
Of course,
show.
Yes.
Well, partly him, is by him and Sterling Harjo. Sorry.
Sure.
About this. Harjo. And it is a new comedy show. It is about a group of friends living in a Native American or Indian reservation in Oklahoma and living the lives there. And it's mainly about, you know, the group of friends not, you know, committing petty crimes to raise enough money to finally get out of there to move to California since one of the friends has killed themselves and they don't want to end up like him and just get out of there. Bleak fucking premise. Some bleak moments in there. But there's a lot of fun to be had there. And I am at, I think, episode 9 out of 10.
Right.
I think episode 10 comes out next week. And it starts off with a couple of episodes just about them, you know, friends doing whatever they do, meeting a lot of characters there. And then transitions to, I think, at least 4 episodes of each of their friends getting their own episode of their own stuff. Like one of them goes to a ride along with a cop. Because he wants to be a detective. The other one has some issues with his dad, and one goes hunting with her father and, you know, trying to deal with the grief since they've lost their friend. And it sounds fucking bleak, but there's fucking Taika Waititi. What can I say? The humor is there, quite similar to his other movies, and I mean that in the best way. And the chemistry between the actors is great. One of the actresses isn't known for much, right. At least I don't know from anything. Paulina Alexis,
sure,
whatever. She's apparently in new Ghostbusters. She is fucking great. Delivery of her lines, and yeah, dude, I love this show. Well, love it's great. Yeah,
you talked about this recently. What was it again?
Just mentioning that it's out. I don't know.
I forgot the episode, but you definitely talked about this.
Maybe. Was there something about Taika? Maybe.
Must have been, right? Maybe Marvel? Maybe the MCU special? Could be that.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be, yeah. But I was looking forward to that show. And it's actually good. I've also been watching, of course, What We Do in the Shadows, the show now.
Sure.
Season 2 now. Sure. Pretty fucking good, to be honest. Yeah, and I've been looking forward to this. I am not sure since I decided to, you know, take this at my pick, you know, a couple of hours ago. Because I'm meant to watch something else, and it is a Disney Plus thing, kind of.
Well, it's difficult, man. I'm also worried with Dope Sick because it Disney Plus don't do the press materials for this for both of those shows. That's both Hulu. I'm just looking now. I mean, the trailers are also like Hulu, but we'll see. I mean, let's give it a go, right?
Sure.
Is there a trailer? It's got to be a trailer. Let me have a quick look.
Sure,
Reservation
sure.
Dogs, FX Networks, TV promos. It's so fascinating that it's so many trailers because this doesn't even have a Hulu trailer. FX on Hulu. whatever. Let's give it a shot. You.
Sure.
So,
this might be the trailer for Reservation Dogs, the new show by Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi.
Abnormal.
Y'all wouldn't have seen a stolen food truck, would you?
Nope.
Oh. Someone stole the truck. Broad daylight.
Put your seatbelt on.
Seatbelt.
People's safety.
We're stealing a f***ing chip truck.
I do not give a shit, man. Put your seatbelt on.
Jesus.
We're not.
Go.
Apparently it was full of chips. I've never seen anything like that. You're good thieves. Best in town.
Oh, thank you.
It is a small town.
Friends.
I don't have any.
Go get some then.
Okay. We could be in California as soon as 2 months.
California, here we come.
You and your buggy ass friends. What are you gonna fight for? I just f***ing with you.
What? You guys watching this? It's gonna be like a month.
What kind of gang was both red and blue?
Indian Mafia. Couldn't make up their minds if they want to be Bloods or Crips more. Maybe they're Blips. Or maybe they're Cruds.
Hey. Yeah. Don't know what you just heard. Bet it's fucking amazing. Or it's just awkward silence.
Yeah.
As we've had before. I mean, have you been interested in the show? Because I know you do like Taika Waititi projects apart from Ragnarok. But, you know, I know you love What We Do in the Shadows. And I know you like Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah. I mean, the setting wasn't really that enticing to me. But I honestly, when you talked about this, I knew very little of it. Mm. I had heard of it before, but I sort of forgot about it. And I haven't really heard a lot of things about it since. I might need to check it out, but it's not really on my radar. I do like Taika Waititi humor. Is it like similar? You said it is similar like to What We Do in the Shadows, right?
Well, I mean, What We Do in the Shadows is, you know, way more over the top, of course. I would compare it from, like, the vibe a bit more to Hunt for the Wilder People, as in it's got a tragic story behind it, but a lot of fun moments in there.
Right.
Some very over the top. And it's even got an episode with Bill fucking Burr in it, which I didn't expect.
He's in everything these days, though.
Everything now, yeah. I mean, good for him, I suppose.
Sure.
Getting his breakthrough at, I don't know, 50 plus.
Yeah.
No, but it's good. I mean, of course, you know, playing on with Reservoir Dogs, great fucking movie as well.
Sure, yeah.
But you know, it is by Taika Waititi, but it's not directed by him.
Right.
It's created by him, and some episodes are written by him. But I think most of the credit probably goes to Sterling Harjo in a way, because I bet Taika Waititi has got so many other things. He's got hands in so many shows, like, and of course also like What We Do in the Shadows and doing his Marvel stuff and own projects. I can't imagine him being too, you know, involved, like firsthand, being there.
Yeah,
but who knows? Could be wrong.
Yeah,
don't want to say anything wrong there.
I mean, he's got a lot of great. See, I'm getting confused by all of these things now, because didn't he have a Star Wars thing in pre-production too? I know that Ryan Johnson and what's her name, Wonder Woman director. What's the Wonder Woman director? Patty Jenkins.
Yes,
they both had Star Wars projects that were now like shelved.
Well, I just looked it up. Taika Waititi got an untitled Star Wars film coming out in 2025.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. So soon.
For Star Wars movie, it's quite soon. You know?
Yeah, sure.
He can take more time. But he's also writing a screenplay for...
He's got a lot of things coming up.
A live action adaptation of...
Akira.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well...
The things you find out, right?
Didn't know we needed that. Sure.
Yep.
I feel like I even heard about it, but I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, that's been announced a long time ago by now. Yep.
Yeah. Next Goal Wins is his next movie. Michael Fassbender, Armie
Yes.
Hammer.
Yes.
I mean, he does some interesting stuff. It's kind of weird. I mean, he does have his own style of humor that I do enjoy, and he brings into nearly everything.
Yeah.
But, dude,
He's also so hit and miss for me, because in like Free Guy, I thought he was horrific.
But he was like an actor there, right?
Yes, but someone who is supposed to be funny. And I heard like Ryan Reynolds talk about this, like him like improvising on set and being like the king of improvisation, and like every line was gold. I didn't find a gold line in there. A lot of bronze, you know, a lot of bronze lines in there. It's subjective.
It sounds generous.
It's subjective, yeah.
Bronze is pretty good.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a fun show. And like I said, What We Do in the Shadows being out also now on, you know, Disney Plus. I hope season 3 is going to come out soon, because I don't understand how you haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, it's too many things to watch. But I should, I think, just because I heard that it was not starring Taika Waititi, but that's a wrong approach, 100%. I mean, I've heard so many good things about it, yeah.
It's still directed by, what's his name? Jermaine Clements.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The humor is still the same.
Dude, it's just too much to watch. And especially when as you know, I've teased that I've been watching a certain show for a long, long time.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to finish that one. Then there's other series coming out. Now I want to watch Dope Sick.
Yeah.
There's like so many things to watch, all these movies that are coming out, you know? It's a struggle.
Fair enough.
It's a
struggle. There's so many things that I want to watch as well. The League of Legends series is supposed to be good.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, like every review that I read, it's like the animation style is great. And it's surprisingly good. But then again, is it surprisingly good for people who are interested in the game? Because I don't give a fuck about it.
Well, it's supposed to be really, really good. It's also for people who haven't played it. I'm one of those people who have never played League of Legends.
Sure.
But it's got like a 9.4 from like 32,000 ratings. So it's got incredible ratings.
I mean, it looks really good.
It looks beautiful, yeah. I thought you might... I didn't know if you had played the game. But it does star Hailee Steinfeld, who we both love.
Yes.
I mean,
I played the game like 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I never touched it. So yeah, I feel like I wouldn't get most of the references, you know, and I feel like it just maybe not aimed towards me. It's, supposedly it is.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Got a huge fucking fan base. I mean, there's something else that came out that I was...
Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah, I love the anime show. I even started watching it again now that it's on Netflix, but... I can't imagine the fucking live adaptation to be any good. And the episodes are like an hour long for some reason.
Yeah, that one isn't supposed to be good.
I couldn't imagine it to be.
Yeah.
You just shouldn't do live adaptations of animes. It just doesn't fucking mesh.
Yeah.
It just doesn't mix. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the format, you know? You can do so many things that you just can't in real life, and it just becomes ridiculous.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I've never seen the original either, but...
It's like fucking Bounty Hunters... in space, and it's very Western and noir-ish.
Yeah.
Looks ridiculous in real life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And
also, like, because I just mentioned Hailee Steinfeld, I mean, Hawkeye is coming out in a couple of days.
Yes, that at least is, you know, a show for Disney Plus, so we don't have to feel guilty for watching it at home. unlike Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's going to... I have faith to see that in theaters.
So many fucking things come out. I have no fucking time, I feel like.
But now everything's shutting down. I mean, I don't know how many things are going to be... the weird difference from now and all the other lockdowns is that it's now just us. So, like, Marvel things are going to come out and we're just not going to be able to see it, you know? It's going to be interesting to see what's going to be postponed and sort of the developments all over the world, you know?
I haven't even thought about that, like... If Germany doesn't shut down, you're right. They're going to come out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
And it is sort of like, unfortunately, during a time when most good things are coming out. You know, it's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, at least we got to see the Viennale, and we got to see Last Night in Soho, like some of the big releases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, fuck me.
Yes. Right, I think that's it.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's a nice way to wrap it up.
I hope so too. Please, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please check out all these, especially the two picks. Really high praise from both of us in terms of our own picks, because we haven't seen the other one. Mm-hmm. And yeah, stay safe. Wash those hands. Cook something good, and we'll get through this.
Sure.
You know, we've been here before. Who says we can't do it again?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Alrighty. Take care.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a blast once again to do this again. It's nice to, you know, talk about some great stuff. I hope you find something great as well, probably in streaming platforms, but there's a lot of stuff coming out there as well. Fucking Power of the Dog coming out soon as well, like you mentioned last week.
Yeah, and, great one.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. You can check us out anywhere where you get your podcast from. You can check us out at Best Thing Radio on Twitter and Instagram. We can check out the thumbnail that Flo is going to create for us like he does every week. It's also on a thumbnail, of course, on YouTube. Consider dropping a like, subscribe, leave a review if you want. Tell us what your go-to stay-at-home movie is if you're feeling down, maybe. And yeah, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.